sugar, and spice. But we don't play nice. Welcome to Not Your Player 2.
Brought to you by Checkpoint XP.
With your host, Christine Kuki Solis.
You don't like it? Get better.
And Sarah Skopic.
Is this easy mode?
We don't just play as your healers. We play it all.
Hi, welcome to Not Your Player 2 podcast, brought to you by Checkpoint XP and BZ XP of BZ Media Group. I'm your host, Christine Solis, aka Cookie, and I am also joined by my co-host, Sarah Skopic. Sarah, how are you doing today?
Doing great. How you doing?
Good. Thank you so much. We record and live stream at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Come and join us as this is an interactive show. Not Your Player 2 can be found on bpodstudios.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you download podcasts. Be sure to leave us a review. We would love to read on the show, good or bad. Now, we usually start off the show with the latest gaming and esports news, but we have two very special guests today. Joining us right now is Brianne Harrison-Pollock and Rachel Feinberg. Together, they have founded Ateo, an esports clothing company. Thank you both for joining us. How are you doing today?
We're great. Thank you guys so much for having us. We're excited to be here.
Yes, we are excited to have you on the show as well.
Yes, definitely.
Now, how long have you two known each other and what made you start Ateo?
I think we've now known each other 5 or 6 years. We met in our third year of college and just kind of clicked right away and got along really well. We kind of became instant best friends and always knew that we really wanted to work together. So we were working in New York, kind of doing the traditional fashion route and kind of came across esports and gaming in Flushing's Queens and fell in love with the community and the local aspect and kind of how passionate people were about this thing that we honestly didn't really know that much about. We then left traditional fashion behind, went to every gaming event we could get our hands on, completely fell in love. I think one of our turning points was going to TwitchCon probably 3 or 4 years ago. When we saw, you know, people meeting the streamers they love and meeting for the first time in person, and that was really magical for us. And we've been in esports and gaming ever since.
Now, do you have a favorite game that you both like to play?
This is Rachel. I think I played some CSGO. Now I'm really competitive in Tetris VR, Tetris 99.
Yes!
I maybe forced myself into like a real qualifier that I have no business being in. But I'm taking it very, very seriously and will convince anyone that they should definitely purchase a Switch and play Tetris.
So oh my gosh.
I feel incredibly strongly about Tetris VR. That is definitely the best Battle Royale game out there. And I'm happy to discuss that with anyone.
Yes, I am a very, very big fan of Tetris 99.
Lordy.
So we do need to connect and play some Tetris 99 behind the scenes. Anyway, what does Ateo mean to you? Where does that name come from?
So we were trying to come up with a name, and I would say it was kind of like building a startup sounds very fabulous, but it's a lot of hard work. And I would say that coming up with the name was like a scene out of a movie. So Brianne and I basically spent like 3 weeks kind of in louder voices, just screaming names at each other. And we knew we wanted a word that only, like, when you said that word, you knew what it was. Like, you know, like, we could own that word. We wanted the .com. And Brianne, I think, came up with the word Ateo, and that didn't exist as a .com. And I came up with Ateo. So I think that it's really nice in that, like, we both were a part of the name's origin, and we were also able to buy the URL for $15.99.
Nice.
That being said, it is an acronym that we haven't told people what it means yet. The few people that do know think it's pretty special. I guess people could guess, but I think eventually we'll release what it stands for.
Got it.
Very secretive. So as you probably had heard how Cranium Apparel created an esports dress on Twitter, which was met with some speculation and cringe. And we just wanted to hear how you guys had reacted to, from either a fashion perspective or anything with that particular esports dress.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting to watch everything happen. I think we feel so strongly about including our community in how we design and how we create products and making sure we're kind of checking it with them. How does this work? Test it. What do you think? So I think it was disappointing that women weren't included so much. But I think it's great that other people are starting to recognize that there are women in gaming and esports and that we need to pay attention to them.
Yes.
So even if it's not done in the most perfect way, I think that bringing attention to the issue is good.
And so we also know that you, Ateo, had revealed the Women's Wear collection with Christina. I loved this music video,
yes,
by the way, of
it.
Thank You Games. we completely fell in love with it right from the start. And so I just wanted to know, how did this idea start, especially with that particular parody of that song and all of that video come together?
So I think a core part of what Ateo is we like to do few things really exceptionally well. And we had done previously a pretty special music video that was a significantly different scale than what Thank You Games was. And we knew typically when we do content, we focus on a specific player, let's say, that exists on a team within a game. But we really focus on creating content around that individual. For this, we really thought it was important to show all the women across the ecosystem.
Yes.
And also the women that work. Obviously, there's a lot of steps that can be made. But there's women that do work behind the scenes, that run orgs, that are player agents, that are streamers, that are players, that compete, that are hosts. And we really wanted to celebrate all of them. And we thought it was really important that those women also be celebrated, as they are hugely important in like having a lot of women in the ecosystem.
Mm-hmm.
And so almost everyone other than the three dancers in that video is either working in the space, is maybe a college student that's a super fan, and I think we have a lot of content that comes out after this video that we've started to release that is these pretty short form interviews,
yes,
of the women. And I know we've released the one around kind of the community managers and around the two women that are working with players getting visas. So we really wanted to show these women and kind of all the amazing things they're doing as well.
Yes. And we're really excited for this series. Your first piece with Susie Kim is pretty amazing.
Yes. The other question I had was, so you ladies have been really focusing specifically on esports clothing. And as, you know, as ladies who studied fashion design, what makes it different from traditional sports clothing, would you say?
Yes, we always kind of start with how can we make gaming better than it already is? And what problems do we think that we can help support through clothing? So a lot of those answers turn into things like posture and breathability. And, you know, clothes have always, since the beginning of time, kind of been designed to stand up in. So it might sound crazy, but like pants designed to sit down in look really different. So we're excited to kind of be on the cusp of this, what we think is the kind of new generation,
mm-hmm,
and that they're really living their life a lot differently. So in the fabrics that we choose that have kind of innovative tech, or where we place seaming, or how we have stretch kind of incorporated in, really does make it comfier to kind of sit down, to be seated for a long time, to make it, the clothing breathable, to not have any kind of rubbing happening. So we're trying to look at the clothing kind of from a holistic perspective and design from there.
I just love the details that you think about with all these things that I don't think a lot of people think about with any other kind of clothing. You know, you mentioned the sitting down with the pants and such, and I just love that. And so I wanted to know more specifically, what were your key considerations for designing female esports clothing?
Yes, we went through a lot of iterations to try and figure out what worked best. For us, we wanted to make something that was flattering, but women still felt really comfortable to wear, that it like served the true purpose of like, you can go home and game in this, or you can wear this kind of out to dinner, not making it kind of too revealing, but making women still comfortable. We also really focused on making sure we included kind of the technical details that we have put in all of our other clothing. So our hood fits over the headset. There's kind of tighter wrists on the and forearms. The hoodie's a little bit more cropped just so it fits women's waist better. The way the pockets are done in the pants kind of fits women's hips a little bit better. So making sure that, you know, we stick true to who we are as a company, but really format it to be flattering for women.
And I think to add on to that, whenever we develop a product, we talk to so many people, and kind of for the first time, different than when we talked to men and women, a lot of women said with hoodies, they all had kind of a different place they wanted the neckline.
Mm-hmm.
And so we decided we wanted to, like, it costs more to put a zipper in a hoodie, but we felt really strongly that women should be able to have a product that was like incredibly comfortable regardless of kind of their personal preference. They could make it something they were comfortable in.
Right.
So that was kind of the decision around the zipper, because a lot of women have a lot of different ways they would prefer the garment to be.
Yeah, you hear the clothing companies, ask us. We have thoughts, trust me.
And I love the fact that it ranges from sizes from like extra small to 3X. So including plus sizes actually helps out a lot. And I love that you showed that on Thank You Games, the music video.
Yes.
So esports apparel is becoming more readily available. You got Hacks apparel in Macy's stores, Champion with 5 esports teams apparel in Foot Locker stores. What's your future plans for Ateo? Do you see Ateo going into a main storefront?
Yeah, so we're still a really small startup with a small team working really hard, but our goal is always to meet our customer kind of where they are. So if that means we want to be on activating on stream, or we want to be where you buy your hardware or the convention you're kind of going to, that's always our goal, is to kind of seamlessly fit into your life. And we try our best to kind of listen to what the community has to say and respond that way. We think that esports and gaming is a unique community, and that, you know, following what other fashion brands have done before doesn't really make sense, that we're really trying to customize it and kind of write our own rules in how we interact and speak with our customers.
Yeah, we have someone in our chat, Trash Panda TV, says the cut on that sweater and sweats make me want to pick some up, actually. So they're an instant fan already. Now,
also, I know you asked about the wholesale. I think an important note is we make everything in Los Angeles. So we pick the thread, we make the fabric, and then we do our own cut and sew. Nothing is like pre-purchased blanks. And it's all made in, like, we also care about this and think it's really important to the women discussion. Like, yes. 80% of garment workers are women. So we care that these people are being paid a living wage, that they get a lunch break, all those sorts of things. And so wholesale is incredibly difficult, as we try to spend the most money on the product and then sell it directly to the consumer so that they can get the best quality for the best price.
Yes, we love that.
Any snaps for that.
Now, are you guys going to be around in E3? Are you going to have like a booth?
So we're, as Brianne mentioned, we're pretty small. So having kind of a standalone booth at these events is pretty difficult for us. We are discussing having kind of a pop-up shop around E3.
Okay.
But we will not be in the convention center. We will be on stream. So if people see us, they can definitely say hi.
Awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us. Where can they find you on social media?
Ateo is at Ateo _ on both Instagram and Twitter. And I'm Rachel Lipstick, and Brianne is Brianne HP.
Awesome. Again, thank you so much for joining us. Be sure to check out Ateo at ateo.com. That's ateyo.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Next on the gaming news, FlyQuest has revealed their first lineup of clothing for women in esports called FlyQuest Women's Flightwear. The lineup features sports bras, leggings, crop hoodies, lounge shorts, baseball tees, and crop tops. Even better, 50% of net profits will go into supporting Women for Women International, a nonprofit supporting women in areas affected by conflict and war. Sales go live on May 24th.
I feel bad talking about this since we just talked to Ateo. But hey, it's never a bad thing to see more of these crop up. And what's really cool is actually not only are their net profits going towards Women for Women, but they're also, as part of this partnership, are supporting 5 women in a year-long training program that focuses on vocational business skills and all that kind of stuff. And so they're really putting it into it. So I'm definitely going to see how their stuff looks too, and maybe some competition.
And don't feel bad. Like you said, we're just supporting other women, and, you know, we're just going to make this our fashion show.
Definitely.
Many of you may remember Ouya. Is it Ouya? Ouya? Sorry.
Ouya, I think.
Ouya, as the wildly successful Kickstarter dream project of a cheap and inclusive console. However, it did not quite get past its Kickstarter success, and it was only a matter of time until it shut down. Well, that time is now. On June 25th, Ouya and its servers will be shutting down for good.
Man, what a sad story. I remember when the Kickstarter had come out for this, I was probably in college, and I had friends of mine raving about it, saying it was going to, like, destroy the consoles or whatever. And nope, but I didn't even know when it came out. It just kind of wasn't it was a blip on the radar. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's pretty much shutting down. I mean, they mentioned how you might be able to get certain stuff to still work, but nope. Basically, they said any developers basically need to, like, move over their stuff to Google Play or services or something like that.
Yeah,
so.
I was interested in this. I was about to buy one, and I'm glad I didn't.
Yeah.
Mario Kart Tour is Nintendo's new smartphone version of the popular series and has begun its beta run in Japan and the US. The game, unsurprisingly, will include microtransactions and loot boxes for the chance of many kinds of items and drivers. And dang it, Nintendo.
Yeah, I mean, was this anyone's surprise? But yeah, the only way to get... It's all randomized. It is basically a loot box. The only way to get any kind of new drivers and rare, different types of rare items are to, like, pay the gems and get the box and see what's inside. Yay.
I do want to check this out, though, because it's Nintendo, but I don't think I'll be spending money on it.
Gotta get that best driver, though.
Yeah. Speaking of microtransactions and loot boxes, Nintendo has decided to pull their mobile games Animal Crossing and Fire Emblem Heroes from Belgium at the end of August. Belgium notably has defined loot boxes as a type of gambling, so Nintendo has acted ahead to pull these games out.
Yeah. So quite honestly, Nintendo basically was like, quite honestly, just said, we don't know what these laws are really going to do to affect us, so we're just pulling out now.
It might as well, because Nintendo wants to make money, I get it, but it's the people's choice to actually use those loot boxes or microtransactions. Like, I still play Animal Crossing. But yeah. So we'll see how that works, especially with the Josh Hawley thing that's going on.
Oh, especially in the Senate. Yeah, I mean, if things pass in the U.S., they're going to be in pretty deep trouble.
Yeah. Magic Pro League has filled one of their openings for their first female pro player. Jessica Estefan comes with credentials as she is in the top 16 of the Mythic Invitational and has won a Grand Prix tournament. Magic Esports has been vocal about wanting to diversify their tournaments and leagues in the future, and we are hopeful as seeing more to come. There.
Card games. This is so exciting! But Magic League, I had no idea, but they're really actually pushing to do a lot more to diversify. Oh, yeah. They're kind of doing and I don't know, MPL is still something I'm a little less familiar with, but they're doing an almost, I know saying affirmative action can sometimes be a dirty word, but they're kind of doing that. They've added 16 what they call discretionary slots for the upcoming Mythic Championships. And they pretty much said that this is to open up opportunities that for those under the old format and rules wouldn't have made it to a Mythic Championship otherwise. They made sure to say that it wouldn't replace existing ones, so nobody's not included. but yeah, so they've added their first female pro player. I hope it's the first of many to come, because I know many women that are heavy in the Magic scene. So I am very excited to see how this continues to go forward.
Yeah, and join our Discord on checkpointxp.com. You can click on our Discord. We have a lot of people who talk under the card game category, all about Magic, all about Hearthstone. So go ahead and join our Discord.
Yes.
DreamHack has recently announced an all-female CSGO tournament at their upcoming DreamHack Valencia. The event will run July 5th through the 7th, enticing players with a $100,000 prize pool.
Ching!
Participating athletes will have the access to dedicated player support, professional event facilities, and promotion throughout the tournament in order to help these players achieve their ambitious dreams in esports. Now, $100,000.
Yeah.
Wow.
If only I lived in Spain.
Okay, so here's my thing again. One, it's not in the U.S. again.
I know.
What is up with that?
It's getting to be almost like a joke. I mean, remember when we talked about, and I will never remember the name of it, but that one big esports tournament that literally just didn't include North America?
Yeah, Girl Gamer Esports Festival.
Yeah, and it's driving me nuts. And I think what drives me even more nuts is the comments that have come about this.
Oh, in particular. My gosh.
Oh, this is sexism. Oh, my gosh, stop.
It's so frustrating.
Super frustrating. Because, guys, you have your other, like, teams. You're going to be okay. Trust me. You know, it's just very, very frustrating to see, you know, how people, I'm trying to think of how to best explain this, but basically, listen, guys, I understand, I wish that sexism didn't exist in the world. I wish it more than you probably do, more than anything, but it still does. And especially when you have games like CSGO or any other pretty heavy history of male-basedness, whatever you want to call it, male-basedness culture to
it. Male-basedness.
It's just rampant. This is the kind of stuff that fortunately or unfortunately, you kind of have to do to get that taken care of. I mean, that culture is not going away. So until it goes away, yes, we're going to have our all-female teams and you're not invited.
I don't know. It's just weird. Like, even if we have a female team or a female tournament, guys are like, it's sexism. What about this? What about that? But the other thing, it's like, if we do try to play with them, they're like, are you sure you know how to play? That kind of thing. Like, either do you want us to join you guys or not? Like,
they just don't want us anyway. They don't want us in the clubhouse, Christine. And too bad I'm kicking the door down with a flamethrower. Like, you're not. But yeah, it is extremely disappointing that we still don't have anything even small like this in the United States.
I know.
Nothing even close, you know? We've talked about how, you know, the idea of having all female teams, like purposely all female, makes us a little uncomfortable, just because for me, I don't trust the fact that it will ever, like, keep going from there. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, when you have tournaments, and what's really great about these tournaments is what they really do is, especially this DreamHack one, is they help women that are interested in the esports scene be able to kind of get up there when otherwise they may not be seen at all because of the fact that it's a woman in esports. Yeah. So this is helpful. This is helpful for us. Yes. So go make your own game.
Yeah. So in the meantime, we're going to have our all female stuff. So don't worry about us.
Don't worry about it.
Also, the fact that it's $100,000 prize pool. I think this is the highest prize pool for all female right now.
Yeah, so which means it's kind of sad, like, they're really taking it seriously. When esports kind of took off across the world, a lot of groups right away were like, oh man, we gotta make sure our women get involved too, and the United States is like, they can join the teams, right? It's fine. Good job, United States! No more sexism!
Yeah, we need it.
Please.
Anyway, what do you think?
Not because we want to, and not because we want to be there and report on it.
Anyway, what do you think of the new CSGO all-female tournament with $100,000 prize pool? What would you even do with $100,000 prize pool? Connect with us on Facebook and Twitter at checkpointxp.com and Instagram at checkpoint_XP. Coming up next, it's time for another edition of What She's Wearing. And this time, our model is Claire Farion, also known as Lightning of Final Fantasy XIII.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
We're bringing back What She's Wearing on the show, where we check out what female video game characters are wearing. I mean, we love fashion, and it works too, since our interview earlier was about fashion.
Obviously.
You can say it was fitting.
A pun! Oh,
anyway, our model today is Lightning of Final Fantasy 13. Everyone knows her. I mean, there's three games of Final Fantasy 13. Her pink hair, off to the side, ponytail. And then you have her little, I think you want it, it's like a jumpsuit
type. I guess. I actually adore her outfit ever since when I was younger and I first saw her design. I really always wished I could cosplay as her. I definitely copied the silly little over one shoulder cape design, like, look one time. I'm not joking. she's wearing like a colored over shirt, I guess you'd say.
Yeah.
It's white, you got the brown, it's got plenty of pockets and it ties up. It's got the collar. And then I guess underneath is some kind
shorts
of
brown or is it a skirt?
Shorts, I think. I don't know. It's hard to tell, to be honest, because it's all very short. And then she's got her, you know, her gloves and her, it's like for a gun, but not really. It's like a thigh pack. And then her noticeable, over one shoulder, like raspberry red cape that I don't know why I was like in love with that look when I was younger. No joke.
Dude, when you said thigh pack, I'm like, maybe we should bring thigh packs into the gaming community.
They need to bring those back.
I mean, it's all about the thing.
But like, a little sexier.
Anyway, I still don't get the one shoulder cape thing. Is it just for flowiness, I guess?
It's just for flowiness. There's no reason for it. And when I tried to do it, like, I only liked it because it, like, was easier to have it flutter behind you as you walked. No joke. And so that's all it really does. It's just to add, because she can't really wear a skirt, and she can't really wear a dress. So this is what they do instead. It just flows behind her. It looks really, it just looks like flashy. That's about it. I don't think it has any other purpose.
Yeah. But later on, like she wears like these full on armor with an actual full on cape. It's not as long as her one shoulder one, but it's like shorter. She has, again, like I said, full on armor all the way from her shoulders down to the arms, her little gloves. She has this big shoulder thing. I don't know what that is.
A shoulder pauldron, I think, is what they call that.
Yeah, I think
it's like when you want to protect your shoulders, but you want to look cool while doing it. So you put it on one shoulder, not both of them.
Yeah. The thing that bugs me, it's like, it just looks like she's wearing a bikini and then like an armored garter belt with these long pieces of fabric that has pockets on that pieces of fabric. And again, for flowiness.
You know what the dressy part kind of looks like in the second one? It looks like someone took huge cargo pants and then just cut them up.
Yes.
Fabric looks and the pockets look. It's weirdly like both too functional looking. And so it just looks weird.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Again, like I said, I think it's for flowiness because even if you put stuff in those pockets, it's just going to go, it's just going to sag down.
Flying out.
Yeah.
Or they're going to hit you over the head as it flies up. Like, there's no real good way to use those.
But what makes her, you know, a main point for what she's wearing on Not Your Player 2 is that she was actually collaborated with the big time fashion designer Louis Vuitton. So this happened back in spring of 2016. Louis Vuitton brought out their collection and they brought out Lightning as their model.
Yeah. And I mean, it was a 3D model, so you can make anything look good on a 3D model, I guess.
Yeah. So the reason why, I guess I'm going to butcher his name, Nicholas Gisquire, I think that's how you pronounce his name. He was the designer for the spring 2016 Louis Vuitton collection. Basically, he's a sci-fi person. So he got really into the whole look of the Final Fantasy, especially when Final Fantasy 13 was out there. Because during the spring 2016 collection show, the show started out with the introduction of Minecraft, which is really weird. And then it went off to the songs of the Tron Legacy soundtrack, which I love the Tron Legacy soundtrack.
It is a good soundtrack, so I don't blame them.
Yeah, so I totally get why they brought Lightning into that, because it's portraying that whole sci-fi feel.
Yeah.
Now, some of the collection is pretty interesting. She has like a short dress, reflective. It's sleeveless. I just don't know about wearing this. Like, would you?
I mean, these high fashion like dresses get so crazy because they're less about like functionality and just more about like how crazy can you get. So it's just, I mean, it looks really nice in a 3D model because, like I said, you can make anything look good in a 3D model. And then you have these, you know, wonderful models that have trained their bodies to try to wear these impossible clothes, and you're like, ooh.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking at the pink one.
Okay, so this pink motor jacket from the Louis Vuitton collection of spring 2016, and yes, Norris, who just got into the chat, he goes, did I just hear a Louis Vuitton reference? Yeah,
yes, oh, you did. Oh, don't you worry.
It has a pink motor jacket. I would actually wear that.
That part's fine. It's funny because it fits kind of funky on the model, but it's a motor jacket, so I think it's supposed to. Like, it's got it slightly to the side, and it's got some pocket, you know, it's got the black accent looks. And then, I don't know what she's wearing on the bottom, but it's like scale armor skirt with another scale armor part on top. I'm a little confused.
Pattern mixing, yo.
Yeah,
or texture mixing.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Well, that's what's so like bizarre about it is they're this, it's the same shiny black look. Like, I don't know if it's a leather or what they're using with it, but it's two different like patterns of a shiny black, and it's a little hard to look at for me, which is too bad. And then I kind of feel bad because, like, she's got this little headband thing that makes it look, I think, supposed to look all futuristic, but I don't know. It's got a lot of weird things going on.
Now, the functionality of all this, like, out of all these outfits that Lightning's wearing, from the Louis Vuitton collection to her original look, which would you wear?
Oh my gosh. I have to pick one of these. Let's see. Like, it's hard because the pink jacket I probably would actually wear.
Yeah.
That silver dress is horrible for my body type. That is meant for very skinny. I'm really short and stocky. It is not. The minute you try to do like a ruffle thing at the bottom, it just doesn't work for me.
Really? I can see you in that for some reason.
I don't like it. It makes my butt look way too big.
Hey, some people like butts.
I know, but it's uncomfortable. You see my thighs, and they're not pretty to look at either. It doesn't make me comfortable. I mean, honestly, like, you know what's sad is I'm watching the video that Louis Vuitton put out for, like, showing Lightning and all her clothes, and the thumbnail has her with a different outfit that I've seen with the other two, and I'm interested in that shirt. It's got a weird, like, ruffle thing theme going to it, but, like, I don't know what that's from.
Yeah, I tried to find that one, and I'm like, it's not on the collection, so.
And it's not in the video. It's very strange. But yeah, I mean, I guess if I was forced to wear one of these in their complete looks out in public, oh, I guess the silver dress is better. But only because I'm not a big fan of those short skirts, like the shorts with the skirt skort thing that they have going on with the different textures. I like the jacket, just that's about it.
You wouldn't wear the original Lightning costume.
The original Lightning costume, I would wear that in public in a heart. I'm just kidding. I'm not sure if I'd wear it in a heartbeat, but I do like it a lot better than these clothes. Definitely not the armor, though. That's a little wonky. But no, I'll wear that cape. I'll go running around with that cape. Don't spoil my dreams.
Oh, all I can think of is The Incredibles with Edna.
Yeah.
You're like, no capes.
No capes. Yeah, it's... Yeah, no, but whenever I see any kind of cosplays of the original Lightning costume, it's always really fun, just because they always do such a good job with all the little details, because there's so many little details on these things.
Yeah, yeah.
So I have to give it credit. I also have to give credit to the fact that besides the fact that her hair is pink, she has the most realistic hairstyle I've seen on anyone in Final Fantasy ever.
Yes, yes. One day you'll find Sarah with that same haircut on the show.
I'm almost pink it up. What's funny is she doesn't actually have that much hair. That's what almost makes it realistic. Because the problem with all Final Fantasy like hairstyles, like with Yuna, is there's too much. You need extensions to do the kind of hairstyles they do. She actually has like legit like okay, so it's just kind of over here and that's it.
Anyway, so Lightning, again, we love you. You're awesome. You even got with Louis Vuitton to design your clothes. And you were all over Japan, yeah. So we salute you, Lightning.
And even if your clothes are a little funky.
And we're going to bring the thigh packs to life.
Yes, the thigh packs. Or eat your heart out, Lara Croft, or bring them back.
Anyway, thank you so much for joining us today at Not Your Player 2 podcast. Our regular live stream and recording is every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Remember to join us for the discussion. We do read our chat here, like Omega Waltall. He says that Lightning was cool in 13.2, so
That's about it, apparently.
Yeah. You can find Not Your Player 2 on bpodstudios.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Leave us a review. We'll definitely read it on the show. We're kind of lacking on reviews, so please go
bring them to us.
Yes, read it and write it. CheckpointXP.com is where you can find more information, news, interviews, and our other shows, including our nationally syndicated flagship radio show, Checkpoint XP, as well as our other podcasts such as Checkpoint On Demand, Winter Has Come. Even though Game of Thrones is done, they do have one more episode left. The Other Identity, which is Anything Everything Comics, Low Teen Damage, which is our Overwatch League podcast. Thank you again so much for joining us here on Not Your Player 2, and we're signing off.
Bye-bye.